Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by ToughManTry.com, by Everyone.org. That's EveryOne.org. Cool new half marathon 5K series. RunCatalina.com. You can check out the Catalina Eco Marathon coming up on Saturday, November 19th. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $75 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on iTunes or on Babbittville.com. We've had over 1 million downloads of our shows. As always, endurance lives here. Joining us now, the producer of the brand new documentary, which will be premiering at the Challenged Athletes Foundation building on July 28th. Mr. Ben Duffy in the film is called Tin Soldiers. Ben, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Thanks so much for taking time. So growing up, were you a skateboarder growing up?
Yes. Yeah, I started skating when I was 13.
And where? Where'd you grow up?
Mayapack, New York. So like Westchester County area.
Okay. And so who were your, were you a Tony Hawk guy? Who were your heroes growing up?
That was a long time ago. I don't know. There was just a few, the select skaters. Tony Hawk obviously was an influence to every skater, but, there was a couple of guys on a team called Flip Skateboards that I really loved, and that's kind of my thing.
So, as that was your thing, when did you get into the concept of, you know what, I want to document some stories? When I look at, you know, Vision of Wholeness, and I look at Heart Child, and even your skateboard film, there's obviously storytelling is a huge thing for you. Talk with your We Are Skateboarders. That was really about the soul of skateboarding. What was it about filmmaking that resonated with you?
Okay. Well, here's the situation.
Yeah.
I've always been someone that desperately wanted to kind of see more than the kind of all you know is your hometown, and that's in your hometown is all you know type thing when you're growing up. So skateboarding kind of, it just made me want to expand my mind. So, you know, when you're a skateboarder young, you go to a shopping mall, and it's not about what's in front of the shopping mall, it's what's behind it. And then you get a little bit older, and it's like, all right, well, I've skated American architecture, and then now I want to see what, you know, Barcelona architecture has to offer. So with filmmaking has always just been a way for me to document the different things that I've seen, and I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, you just named a bunch of my films. Like, you know, skateboarding's kind of an odd thing. Autism is a different kind of thing from the norm.
Yeah.
You know, everything to do with Tin Soldiers is out of the norm. So I think that it's just always been about trying to allow myself to see everything that I possibly can and embrace these parts of life that don't always get seen and make them seen, you know, help them to be seen. And so, you know, and to provide empathy for these people too.
So in 2009, when your film, I think it was, the film?
We Are Skateboarders?
Your film on children with autism.
Okay. Well, that's funny that you actually pulled it up. I don't even think I released that. I don't even know how you found that. But that was just a short film that I made in L.A. when I was living there, kind of before I started We Are Skateboarders. But that wasn't like my main film. My main film on autism was Heart Child.
Right. But there was something about the fact that you did a short on autism in 2009, I think.
Yeah.
And then later you did Heart Child. What was it about autism that connected with you? Obviously, you must have known somebody who had a child of autism. What was that situation?
It was a mixture of two things.
Okay.
My mom and my stepdad are occupational therapists.
Yep.
So I was around it a lot when I was younger. And then my best friend, who's also the co-producer of the film, his brother is severely autistic. Mm. So I've always kind of, you know, since I was 14, I've known him and, you know, just always bonded with him. And, it just all kind of made sense when I got asked to do it or when I saw them out.
And so 28-year-old Chris Worley, mother of 9-year-old autistic child Sasha, when you covered that story, what did you learn from that? Because it's one thing to see a parent with an autistic child or with a disabled child, but to basically live in their world for a period of time gives you such a different perspective on what they're going through.
Yeah, totally. You know what? It's funny because when I was making that film, I was so young. I was 21, 22.
Yeah.
And my sister just had a baby, and it was like the first time I ever held a baby. And it's like, man, when you're around a baby, you really get that sense of like that being around my sister and the baby, just wow, like a true glimpse of motherhood. And I didn't even understand that when I was filming. But basically, what I'm saying is like to see this young woman, Chris Worley, be such an amazing mother and be so, I mean, beyond hyper passionate about just giving their kid the best life that he possibly could,
yeah.
And then starting this organization that, you know, goes around the world and teaches kids how to skateboard as an alternative form of therapy. I mean, I think I just learned so much about you know, what it's like to just open your heart up so much and just and do such good things for the world, you know?
So when you do We Are Skateboarders, mm-hmm. was the idea behind it, you know, I want to do something for all my buds who are skateboarders? Or was it to, you know what, I want the rest of the world to know, because they look at us as this fringe sort of, this fringe sport that people are skating, like you said, at the mall. They're looking at benches to skateboard on. What was your thought behind creating We Are Skateboarders?
Well, growing up, you know, I always wanted to make a skateboard film myself, and I made some when I was in high school. But my dream was to make a skateboard film that would be in skate shops around the world. And when I went out to California, when I was 18, I kind of just saw skateboarding, the industry, for what it was, and I thought, you know, what a great way to, you know, a great subject for a film to kind of make a film about how professional skateboarders really felt about the state of skateboarding that we were in, because at that time, with the economy crashing in 2008. So many like corporate companies came into skateboarding to try to, you know, save skateboarding in a way, but a lot of companies weren't like, you know, doing, you know, keeping the core soul of skateboarding, you know, present. And so I was, you know, I saw that and I was like, okay, you know, that would be cool to see how skaters felt about it. So no, it sounds grandiose, but I really wanted to do something big, and I actually wanted to do something that was, you know, that felt like it wasn't just for my buddies and just skateboarding. I wanted to do something that, you know, felt like I did something big for skateboarding.
Yeah. So Tin Soldiers, it's a departure, right? This is, you're telling different people's stories. You got Elena Nichols' story in there. You have a number of different people with all different types of challenges.
Yeah.
How did you come about casting, and what was, when you went into it, was the thought, okay, I want to do vignettes around all these different athletes because they're facing different challenges, but at the end of the day, they're still major challenges.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was the thought process there?
Well, as far as casting goes, I met somebody from Texas who knew a bunch of people in the community, and you know, he was like, "Hey, Abel Rose, hey Quinn Whately, Oscar Loretto, you know, you gotta meet these guys. You gotta document them. They're amazing." So I was kind of just introduced to everybody through them, and then I met Heather Rose,
yeah,
and Odom told me about Elena Nichols, and I was like, oh, man, well, she sounds incredible, so I have to. So I just Facebook messaged her, and she was all about it.
Well, it was interesting. I just finished an interview with her a little while ago, and she goes, you know, I could tell right away that Ben's heart was in the right place. I could tell that he's a very special person who was going to do this story right. Obviously, this is a passion play. You are intimately connected with the athletes when you're telling their stories. And she also said that you got her to reveal family stuff that she really wasn't planning to go there. So I'm anxious for people to see this film on July 28th at Challenged Athletes Foundation Building, because you got inside these folks. How much of that is just being inquisitive when you're sitting and interviewing, and how much of it is planning out ahead of time, this is where I'm going with this person?
You know, I think that everybody's vignette in the film is different, and Elena's was very much, I was going to go in there and I was going to, you know, I wanted to see just how deep she can go. I really wanted to see that, and because I just spending time with her, she's just got the girl's just got so much heart and soul, and she's just got such an amazing story, and she's also just been through just too much. And I was just like, you know, being respectful and being, I wanted to see how much she would give me, and I just knew that, you know, being such a inspiring person, I think that what makes inspiring people even more lovable is just understanding how, you know, almost the psychology of how they became what they became. And I think, you know, there's a moment in the film where she talks about her brother passing, and she used that love for her brother to win that gold in Vancouver, and she did it for him, and she cried for him, and I don't know, it was just such a beautiful moment of the film, because you really understand, you know, I think that thing that's inside of her when she's going 70 miles per hour down a hill, on a monoski, and I just find it fascinating, you know?
What surprised you from the different interviews you did with different athletes? Did you go in with sort of, okay, I have a feeling it's going to go this direction, and then all of a sudden it takes a huge detour and goes somewhere else?
For me,
yeah.
I just have no experience with the world of people with amputees or paralysis or you know, spina bifida, cerebral palsy.
Right.
Nothing. So everything, you know what, actually, it's a good question. Every time I interviewed somebody, I just left it being like, I cannot believe how positive these people are. And
right.
I mean, they, you know, you look at someone like Quinn, who, you know, who's, you know, quadriplegic with cerebral palsy, and, you know, it's fascinating. Like, she's got these six sisters, and, I mean, I can't imagine what it's like to be in a big family like that with all these sisters and just be such, she's so different than all of them, and she has so much, you know, she has this severe disability, but she's just like this happy comet, and she does so much, and she's so loving, and I don't know, and Elena is the same way. I mean, Elena is super humble even with all of her accomplishments. I mean, I couldn't, and you know, Heather Rose is just like the super mom, and she's just amazing. She just wants to give Abel every opportunity he can get. And I just, yeah, I was just so surprised by, you know, you go through life, you know, I've only lived in L.A. and New York City, and, you know, I just see people complaining their whole lives away, and then you get to these people, and you're like, man, like, that's living. You know?
Imagine if the whole world was like this, if people just dealt with issues and just moved forward with a smile.
Yeah, and you know what? I hope that this film, you know, even if it's just some people. I think some people are going to see it and maybe have their lives, you know, they'll say, wow, like, you know, like, this is what the perseverance is really about, and maybe I can persevere a little bit more in my life, you know?
So when you finish a film like this, and I'm sure there was points where you're going, I don't know how I'm going to get all this stuff in because I can't do a five-hour film here, but I've got material to do a five-hour film. When you wrap this, was the type of thing, or okay, we've got to go back and change this, change that. How long is that process, and when do you know it's really done?
This film, I had the easiest time kind of cutting it down and all that because in the past I've made my film so long and people always like, Ben, your film's so good, but it's so long. And I just didn't want to hear that this time.
You want people to go, I could have used 20 more minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, the film's, I think it's 58 minutes and it's just like, it's perfect to me. And, you awesome. Know, as far as length goes and, yeah, I don't know. I didn't doctor it. I feel like too much because I just was just like, you know what? I need to keep this a little bit shorter and shorter and shorter. So I don't know. I feel like it's a great length, and it didn't. The editing process was just a pleasure, really.
So the film, we'll be showing it on July 28th at the Challenged Athletes Foundation building, having the premiere there, and we'll have yourself and Elena for a Q&A and some of the other folks involved with the film. Talk a little bit about, as you've progressed as a filmmaker, what you've learned about the craft. And like you said, this film sounds like it went together easier for you. It was, you were able to make it shorter than in the past, so you probably filmed a little less. How have you matured as a filmmaker?
Well, I don't know. It's a hard question. I actually feel like I'm not jaded from the filmmaking process, but filmmaking is just, I mean, a lot of things in life are hard, but filmmaking is like, next to impossible, and you know, for all the people out there listening, I did this film with no money. I mean, I did it. I for the most part, I paid all my own flights. I paid, you know, just it was an extremely resourceful project, and I just didn't have any help, and except a little bit of seed money in the beginning, but it wasn't much. But I'm grateful for it. But you know, I don't know. I just jumped into this film and it just got better and better for me, and then the pinnacle was Elena, and I don't know. I'm proud of all my films, but I think this film, what I like about it so much, and I guess it was a mature take on it, was, you know, not just doing the Elena story or not just doing the Abel story, and having the vignettes. I think the vignettes is crucial because it just gives you enough time to see everybody, but also enough time to—it's just enough time to spend on one person to be ready to move on to the next. I think that was a very mature decision. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I couldn't be happier with it. I can't wait for the premiere. Oh man,
it's going to be pretty fun. So yeah. Again, July 28th, we'll be premiering it at the Challenged Athletes Foundation building. If you have not been to our building before, a pretty spectacular place. So, Ben, if people want to find out more information on you and other films that you're doing, and also if there's a schedule of other showings that you'll be doing with Tin Soldiers, where can they go?
Well, my website is weareskateboarders.com, and the film is coming out on iTunes on August 16th. And it's getting pitched to Netflix and like Amazon Prime, so I'm just praying that it gets on.
I love that. So you went into this basically with no funding, paying for it out of your own pocket, or very little funding.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I get a little, I don't know what the word is, but I mean, you know, I know about like a lot of documentaries that have, you know, north of 150 grand funding, and I did this film with, I don't know, man, it was like maybe like $5,000 to $7,000 in total.
I mean, wow.
It was, I'm talking pinching pennies, and because I just don't have it. I've always been a really resourceful independent filmmaker who I never wanted to wait and get approval from someone to make something and then kind of be told on how to do it, because I've always just been a very self-motivated kind of guy. And so I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do this. And I'm just, what I was so blessed with was people introducing me to all the right people. That's the most valuable part of the experience, was just, as far as the production side of it goes, was just being led to all the right people. And, you know, I mean, and being led to your guys' San Diego triathlon, like,
oh, yeah.
It's just incredible, you know?
Okay, so you were triathlon challenge last year in San Diego.
Yeah.
That's what's interesting to me about that weekend, that day, and something we don't think about, but you probably have more of a sense of it after living it with these athletes, is for a lot of these guys who are in little towns in Texas, they might be the only amputee or wheelchair-bound person in their city.
Yeah.
And I had one of the moms say to me, you know, for 364 days a year, my kid's a freak. People are pointing at him and singling him out. But when they come out here for San Diego Triathlon Challenge, there's 150 kids. There's always somebody who's got a bigger challenge than you have. They feel normal. They feel they can take a breath and go, hey, there's other people here just like me.
Yeah, I mean, I go nuts when I see that. I think it's just the most beautiful thing ever. I was actually just at the Peaceable Kingdom in Texas, and I think it's the same situation as you were talking about. It's a small town, so
yeah. These
kids just, you know, but they come together at this camp for 1 week, and they're all together, and nobody's different. And, I mean, that's what I hope, you know, I think back, because I don't have a lot of experience with this community, I think back, I stretch my mind to, you know, as little as an exposure as I had, and I think back to, middle school, high school, and even elementary school, to where your first introduction to a different kind of person, like a person with special needs or anything like that, or someone in a wheelchair, is you're young in school, and
yeah. Nobody
introduces you to them, but you just see them in separate classrooms, or you see them like kind of cornered off in the cafeteria, and I just don't think there's any equality to that.
I
think without a proper introduction, how is any 12-year-old supposed to have empathy if there's no proper introduction, you know?
Exactly.
I think that it would be amazing if people that age could see this film and be introduced to it so that they don't feel like an amputee or someone in a wheelchair is so different, and and then the amputees don't feel so different. So, and one thing I'm really excited about is I picked up a educational distributor. So the film's going to be played in colleges around
the
country and
that's
stuff
huge.
Like that. Yeah. So I mean, sky's the limit with that.
Well, what I love, I remember when we launched Emmanuel's Gift back in 2004, 2005, and just the number of teachers who showed the film in class, and people learned about disability, learned about, you know, Ghana, it changed perceptions. And what your film is going to do, when you see a guy driving his truck with his knees,
yeah. Or
you see Alana, or you see any of the other athletes, you know, skateboarding on a wheelchair, right? And you're going, what the heck? I didn't even know this existed.
Yeah.
And people who are sitting in this small town with their kid who doesn't know this stuff is even out there. That's the thing that happens. And I think the domino theory of people seeing the film and understanding that it does impact them and they can impact others. And I think you're going to be surprised. You probably won't be surprised, but there's going to be a lot of great support for the film once it hits.
Great. That makes me happy, because I put 2 years of my life into it, and it wasn't always the easiest process, but man, does it feel good.
I love it. Hey, Ben, thanks so much for taking time. We look forward to seeing you on July 28th. It's going to be at the Challenge Athlete Foundation. The film is called Tin Soldiers. It's beautiful. It's an amazing documentary. You need to come by the building and check that out. Again, my name is Bob Babbitt. Ben Duffy has been our guest. We are brought to you by toughmantry.com, everyone.org, runcatalina.com. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we've raised over $75 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport, and the foundation is showcased within this film. Check out any of our interviews on iTunes or on BabbittVille.com. And as always, endurance lives here.